Welcome to Call with Dads. Let's talk.
There we go. Started off with not being able to hear each other.
I know.
But yeah, like I said, the topic on my mind is teaching kids there's a right time for everything kind of a topic, because like I have to constantly tell my son, hey, there's a time you wrestle, there's a time you fight, there's a time you play, there's a time you have to behave, all this stuff.
Sure.
And it sounds reasonable, except for when you put it into practice with a little boy, it's like, okay, I know he wants to wrestle. He's a little boy. He has a ton of energy, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, you have daughters. So, well, now you have a son, but
yeah, older daughters.
Was it the same thing with the daughters where you had to kind of work on having them understand that there's always a time? Like for my son, I have to be like, there's a time when we're going to fight, and then there's a time that you're just going to say, okay, here's what's going on, and understand people don't want to wrestle a roughhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if girls are that way.
Yeah. I mean, right. You know, now's not the time for that, right? I mean, I just picture yourself as a parent saying that almost ad nauseum, right? And it's like, right. I think that's with any kid, you know, boy or girl. I mean, obviously I feel like the principles are the same. It's just the problems are a little different, you know? We always, with my oldest daughter especially, we always listen to songs and we'll analyze the lyrics. And as soon as you brought this topic up, I thought of The Gambler by Kenny Rogers. You know, he said,
time to hold him, a time to fold him.
Yeah, he says you got to know when to hold him, you got to know when to fold him, you know, you got to know when to walk away, and you got to know when to run. And yeah. I tell you what, man, I even as an adult, man, there's times I still find myself, you know, holding them when I should be folding them, or folding them when I should be holding them. You know, it's like I just feel like it's a constant battle, and trying to teach our kids that is, I mean, it's challenging. We haven't even learned it ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I mean, you would think that the logic behind it's pretty straightforward. And, you know, it's like time management, understanding when to do stuff, all this stuff. Again, the concept's simple. It's just putting it into practice is the hard part, because I don't know. I mean, it's, I guess, how do you teach your kids something that you're still working on being better at? Because like I constantly tell my son, my job is to make you better than me. But at a certain point, you're like, how do I do that when I'm struggling to understand these things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to take your, 30, 40 years of experience and kind of offer it to them. But I think it's kind of a paradox in some ways, because, I mean, as much as we can like teach our kids lessons, you know, experience has to be earned. And, you know, I can explain to my kid like, hey, you know, now's not the time for that. Right? Like I said, right. You know, now's not the time for that. Or, you know, hey, now's the time we need to get that done. You know, it's like, yeah, it's the right time. You know, the fruits are ripe, you know, we got to get to picking, right? You know, like that whole thing. And, but like I said, the experience sometimes has to be earned at the cost of, kind of serious failures. You know, sometimes yeah. you gotta procrastinate and watch your whole crop die and rot in front of you, you know, and then that's just painful, man. That's just painful.
It really is. And I think I've seen that happen to myself a few times more than I like, but
yeah, heck yeah.
I think we've mentioned this before, is just because you have knowledge, it doesn't mean you have the wisdom to implement it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. The knowledge is understanding there's a time to hold them and a time to fold them, but the wisdom is knowing what time is which, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it is an important thing to still try to teach our kids. And I think a lot of it is for us, I think as adults, is more personal and more kind of getting our lives in order thing, where kids, I think it's more of a social thing we're trying to teach them on that level, where it's like my son, he's 8 years old, and teaching him, you don't roughhouse with girls. You can roughhouse with boys.
Sure.
Women, girls are not the roughhousing type normally. Now, I'm sure there's some girls out there that enjoy roughhousing and what's
yeah, you
have
could you. Seriously hurt them too as a man, you know, you got to be aware of that.
Exactly. And the big thing is like, I'm constantly working on teaching my son the right time to roughhouse is when you're roughhousing with me or one of your other guy friends. you cannot roughhouse with your mom or your sister the same way you do with me.
Right.
And a lot of it seems to be trying to teach that understanding as well of situational timing, as well as you just can't go out and be crazy all the time. You have to put your logic to work. But again, an 8-year-old boy, full of energy, piss and vinegar, just wants to go crazy. And to him, he doesn't fully, he understands there's a difference between boys and girls. There's no question of that. But he doesn't understand that you cannot treat them differently. You cannot treat them differently physically because, well, they're more fragile than we are. It's just how we're built. I mean, they're meant to be the nurturing ones. We're meant to be the ones to take the abuse. So, I mean, it's everything has its good sides. Trust me, I would love not to have the abuse I've taken in my life, especially today. But
Yeah, that's the thing about getting on at 10 o'clock at night, huh? They get a rawer version of us, don't they? We're kind of
they
worn
really do.
down, our willpower is
Yeah.
gone. But it's
Yeah, it
funny though,
really
because
is. Yeah.
like we talk about, you talk about learning the right time for things, or the right environment for something, or the right person to do something with. Like you said, it's all about just like, the appropriate place, time for a particular thing, or and whether it's there's a time to work, there's a time to play, there's a certain person you can roughhouse with and someone you can't. I think it's really important that, our kids learn these lessons when the stakes are low.
Right.
Like if you if
Yeah.
I you know if I'm if I lost, there's been times in my life where I've lost everything I had, and if I was nine, not a big deal if I lose $9 and a piece of
Right.
bubble gum, you know what I mean? But it's
Yeah.
like when I'm 30,
It's completely different.
and you lose your entire net worth, it's like, man, the stakes are high. You know what I
Oh,
mean?
yeah.
Or you're responsible for other people, or you're a grown man, and your strength is significantly increased, and you haven't learned to regulate yourself when it comes to rough play with women, and you end up hurting somebody. Whereas, like you
Right.
said, when you're nine, it's not a big deal. I mean, you could hurt mom, but I mean, you're not gonna do any serious damage, right? I mean, you're
Yeah.
just a little boy. It's like,
You're gonna irritate her, but I don't know, my son's almost my wife's height at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good, I mean, yeah, the difference is obvious, even at a young
Right.
age. But you see my point, it's like
Oh, yeah.
they got to learn these things when the stakes are low. They got
So
to fail when all they got to lose is $9. You know what I mean?
oh, yeah. Now, let me ask you this, because, like, my daughter, she's only 4, so I'm just at the head of the rodeo, like, the bull's about to come out of the gate kind of thing with my daughter. So, with this, what did you kind of find difficult with teaching your daughters on understanding timing, understanding there's a right time for this or a right time for that, or things like that? What did you find to be really dealing with your daughters in that sense? Because, and I don't know if it's just my daughter, I can't imagine it, but she has an attitude that, and trying to teach her to maintain that attitude properly instead of going nuts with it, I think
That's
is
a
a
good
challenge.
example. Yeah, it's like, hey, now's the time. We got to be respectful. I know emotions are high. I get it. The first thing that came to mind when you mentioned that, though, was, another adage, right? I mean, we're just like, this is all just ancient wisdom, but there's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry.
Right.
You don't want to laugh when you're supposed to be crying, but you don't want to cry when you're supposed to be laughing either. That's a bad situation to be in. And I feel like for young, and I don't know, I'm not a woman, but just witnessing it, witnessing it as my daughters have grown up, they just get so emotional sometimes over little things. And it's like, hey man, now's the time to buck up. Like we don't got time to sit here and cry. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not the place for that, or this isn't worth all that. That's tough. For my oldest daughter, it was whenever she encountered criticism of any kind, a teacher or something would try to correct her, chastise her about something, or even me or her mother, and it would just she would break down. And it's like, listen, man, now's not the time for that. I'm not I'm not going to attack you. You're not in any danger. You know what I mean? You just got to listen, try to take it in, you know. But yeah, emotions get high, and I feel like it's hard sometimes for them to regulate that. And maybe that's true for little boys too. I don't know. I mean, my boy's 3 months old. I haven't,
Right.
you know,
I
he cries
know.
about
Oh,
everything.
yeah. I don't know. I know that my son, he has an emotional side to him.
Does he?
But yeah. And I think he has a mixture of things going on. One being, and I think we discussed this prior, where he's overly intelligent in a lot of areas. And with that comes drawbacks in other areas where, like, he has high emotions and he gets worked up about stuff. He holds a grudge like his mother. It's so, and I'm glad she doesn't listen to these things.
I guess that's the same question for you. You know, like your boy's how old? I'm sorry.
He's 8 years old now.
Eight. I was gonna say nine. Okay, he's eight.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, same question, right? Like what things did you find were the most obvious in regards to that? Like things, you know, you had to teach him it's the right time for this, the right time for that. I mean, I know you mentioned roughhousing, but
Right.
what else did you encounter, man?
I'm like right now, a lot of what I'm going through is teaching him to understand that he needs to control his emotions better. And
Yeah, okay.
he's, like I said, he is an emotional little boy. And because we homeschool, we're usually around other kids for a little bit. And he does great. He doesn't have a problem with other kids. It's when he gets home alone and all
Really?
this. Yeah. So out with other kids. Now, if a kid does something wrong and he feels like he's been scorned, I guess,
Sure.
then he will remember that for, I don't know. He remembers, like, was it last summer? There was a festival and he still gets upset that the guy gave my daughter a prize and not him, even though he, and I'm just like, man, come on.
You have wronged me.
Yeah.
There is no
So
low that I will not stoop to exact my revenge.
he's actually wanting to create animal robots to help him get revenge on the people. I'm like, come on, buddy. It's cool that you want to create animal robots. That concept's cool. But let's do it where you're not attacking people with them. So,
I think that's normal for a little boy. Like I mean,
yeah.
you know, it sounds bad, but I think like even when I was a kid, I remember I had toy swords and I wanted to learn ninjutsu. And I was like, you know, I was so serious about it. Like I'd go to the library and I would try to find books on it and all this stuff. And you know, this was before the internet, obviously, but
Right.
yeah, just anything I could find, you know, watching videos or movies, or I used to love I want to say it's Akira Kurosawa, Seven Samurai. It's like an old
Okay.
black and white film, but
Sounds familiar.
yeah, I forget the director, but I think that's correct. I mean, I'm sure someone will tell us if we're wrong,
Yeah.
but yeah, I just loved it because I just wanted, but I think, but now that I'm thinking back on that, it's like that time as a kid, you know, and it was all just so I could like. You know, I could be more competent, right? So, you know,
Right.
nobody's gonna mess with me, you know. But I think that's what it is. I think it's like a strive for competence, you know, as a young man. And that's a good thing. I think
Yeah.
that's something we actually want to encourage in our sons,
Oh
you
yeah, I
know.
do. I mean, I know I want to teach him, like, for me, like letting him roughhouse to build up that learning how to fight one way or another. I tried not to let him punch as much because he does have a strong punch.
Sure.
But
Yeah.
the whole thing is I do want to teach him that confidence in his fighting, in standing up,
Right.
all this. I tell him his job is to protect his sister, not beat up on his sister,
Yeah.
things like that. But I think overall with little boys, like the problem is a lot of times they're going out into the world and they have women. And I'm not trying to downgrade women or anything like this, but for boys, the women see the boys when they're roughhousing all this and just thinking, oh, well, why are they doing this? They're just acting up. And because when they grew up and all this. They grew up with dolls and
Right.
wanting to play nicely and all these things.
I do think there's a
Where,
primal part of them, though, that just gravitates towards the winner, you know?
yeah, well,
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
But like, I grew up where my best friend and I remember like an example, we were in a house that he lived in, and I was at the bottom of the stairs, and we were doing something. We started throwing things back and forth at each other, and he got a bunch of knives out of his kitchen and started wailing them at me. And you would sit there
Almost
and think,
got a charge.
how stupid are you? Yeah, how stupid are you guys? But it's like I got, I think one kind of hit me or nicked me, and but it wasn't, they were steak knives. So when you threw them, the handles
Yeah,
is
sure.
what, so you got hit by the handles. You didn't get
Yeah.
hit by, but you still was like, oh, I don't want to get hit. But you were still kind of trying to grab something and throw it back and
Yeah.
all this. And we were young and dumb, but it's that mentality where I don't think I've ever heard a girl tell a story similar to that. I can tell you, I've heard other guys tell me story, stupid stories like that. Oh, my buddy and I, we did this. And you're like,
Yeah.
how are you alive?
Yeah. My version of that was I remember being young and having those bottle rockets or bottle
Oh,
rockets. We would
yeah.
set them in our hands and like
Oh.
so that we could like aim them,
Right.
and we'd light them and we'd shoot them at each other.
Yes, I mean,
One time I burnt the crap out of my ankle. Yeah, well, my buddy burnt the crap out of my ankle. But it's just stupid stuff. But right,
it's
like tying it back, there's a time for that, with your
right.
buddies is, don't do that in class.
No, no, God, no. Right. Well, on top of that, it's also like as adults, it's not like we're going to be throwing things at each other as adults and saying, take
Mean?
that.
Depends on how many drinks you had.
They have around
Probably
here,
not, though.
they have a place where you can drink and throw axes at
Yeah,
targets.
we have those too, yeah.
So, I
It's
mean, you
actually
got
fun.
seven. I've never done it. We don't get out much. We're pretty solitary people at this point. But I mean, it's like that. You learn to get your aggressions out, and you learn to do your stupid things at a certain age, because as an adult, you do that, somebody sees you, they're going to call the cops. As
Yeah.
kids, they're going to be like, hey, you stupid kids.
Somebody's gonna get hurt.
You
Cut
exactly. So
it
it's also that time, like, but if my son tried to do it right now, I'd be like,
out.
no,
No.
don't throw sharp
I
objects.
did the same thing, but don't do that. Do what I say,
Yeah.
not what I do.
Learn from my mistakes.
Yeah, well, like we
Yeah.
said at the beginning, I don't even know if that's possible. Maybe to a certain degree, It's funny.
Yeah,
Go
go
ahead, I'm
ahead.
sorry.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Was just gonna say, like lately, we've been doing the whole homesteading thing, we talked about that, got all the property and everything. We
Right.
did it before, so it's kind of just like we're getting back into the groove, but lately I've been chopping a lot of wood. So we have a bunch of trees that we felled at the beginning of the year, and I've been dragging them out of the woods with the four-wheeler and bucking them up with the chainsaw, and then just splitting them, and it's therapeutic. Get my aggression out, and I'm like I'm being productive, but also I'm destroying things, and it makes me feel better.
Yeah, there is a factor of you never get rid of that. Let me just beat the daylights out of something so I can feel better. And I think that's why like a
But see,
lot
that's
of,
the time for
yeah. Well, and that goes
that.
back to teaching right time, wrong time, because like you said, as an adult, if I go out and I don't learn to deal with my aggression when I'm a kid, boy, girl, or whatever, like I have to, my daughter, I know, like she has an attitude, like I said, that goes on for miles. She is definitely a girly girl, but at the same time, she's playing with my son's cockroaches and getting upset if he doesn't share the garter snakes that he finds.
Oh, that's kind of
And
cool.
yeah, I mean, so there, she's very much into dealing with anything that he playing with because she knows it's safe.
It's also her older sibling. She probably looks up to him and feels,
Oh
like you said,
yeah.
safe. That's a keyword. Probably feels safe with
Yeah.
him. And
Yeah. If brother does this, then I can. So the problem is that she sees him trying to play with his scorpion. And I'm like, no, do not do this, especially in front of your sister. I do not want her reaching in trying to pick up the scorpion. I don't
I'm
want
not
him
mistaken.
doing
Aren't
it.
scorpions kind of like watchy pets, not touchy pets?
Yes. And I tried to make that very clear to him when we got the thing.
Leave it up to the
But
boy, though.
he's like, no, I watch videos. If you pick it up by the tail and then you put it on your finger, I'm like, y
Look, Dad,
no, stop. He's like,
it sits on my head. No,
yeah.
no,
I'm waiting.
stop. Put it back in the
I'm waiting for that.
cage.
So it's like, I know he's going to get stung by it. And it's going to be just one big giant scene. We'll put it that way.
I mean, how dangerous is that?
I think they're like getting stung by some wasps.
Okay.
So,
So it's not like deadly or anything, or
no, I don't.
I mean, obviously it's not deadly, but I'm saying it's not like
Right.
seriously detrimental to his health. It's
No, I think I have to check on the age, like what ages it affects at what, because
there's a time
when
for everything. The time
I
for research was before you bought the
well, when I bought it, it said that it was like getting stung by a bunch of angry wasps.
Okay.
So,
Got it.
and it was one of the top suggested pets for kids,
Okay.
like insect wise, like
Yeah.
arachnids and what's have you. So, but I think most parents aren't letting their kids pick up the scorpion. But my son's like, oh no, let me show you. I picked him up. I made a video of it. I'm like,
Look,
oh,
Dad,
stop.
I have the one docile scorpion in existence. Okay, son,
And
sure you do.
yeah, I weirdly enough just watched a video where a guy raised a hippopotamus.
Oh God.
And most, I don't know if people realize this, but they
They're
call
very
they're the
aggressive.
largest cause of death.
Yeah.
They've killed more humans every single year than the lions, cheetahs, bears, all the predators combined
They're
in
massive.
Africa. Oh, so this guy raises this thing.
They're super territorial too, I hear.
Yeah, so I guess after this guy raised this hippopotamus, the thing just one day snapped, bit him, and dragged him under the water. And it's like, oh man, just
Yeah, that's a
why?
wild animal.
Yeah, that's the thing is that, and the funny thing was is my son was watching. I know it's fantastic to have a kid watch this stuff.
Amen.
He was watching this. It was a video like the most stupidest things that people did with animals. And there was like a bear, a woman that went in and she was taking care of the bears, this wild bear that they were trying to rehab. And she thought it was being friendly, so she had nothing to worry about. So she walked into the cage with it. And then the bear mauled her in front of the kids. I'm sitting there going,
Surprise.
yeah, I mean, think about what you're doing. And somebody didn't take the time to teach her there's a time not to play with wild animals.
I love how we keep tying all this back to
There's all
it's so relevant to so many things.
there's always a time for it.
It's like, didn't we learn, what were those guys named, Siegfried and Roy?
Oh
Is that they like they
yeah.
did stage performances with those lions or tigers or whatever they were
Oh yeah,
for like
the
two
white,
decades or something, and then it
yeah,
just like
one
turned
of
on
them
him and
attacked him,
killed him.
yeah.
That's crazy, man.
And I forget if he kept doing the other one kept doing the shows or not.
I don't remember. I mean, and you can't be, it's funny because like we have a bunch of chickens, and we had a
Right.
rooster, and we inherited the rooster. I don't know if I told you this or not.
I don't
We
think so.
inherited him,
Oh,
and he was
excuse
cool. First couple of days he was chill. He was just doing his rooster
me.
thing,
Right.
whatever. And going and get the eggs is fine. And my daughter went in to get the eggs one day, and he like bum rushed her, and he bit her in the calf, and
Oh.
broke her skin. I mean, it was pretty bad. Left a big bruise. And I went in there, and he was like coming at me with his like feet in the air, like flapping his wings and everything. I don't know if you've seen, they like attack with the little spurs on their legs.
Yeah,
And
I'm not a
so,
fan of chickens and roosters and
oh really?
such.
So I put him in this like kennel for a couple days and was like, I was reading, I don't know, reading a bunch of stuff online about it. And then every day I'd like bring him out and try to like, you know, carry him around and feed him from my hand, and we were cool. And then I let him out, and he was like hanging out with the hens doing his thing, and I was kind of cleaning the coop up, and I like looked over at him, and he like looked at me, and I could see it in his face. I was like, don't, I'm like, don't do it, dude. And he did. He attacked me again after like a week and a half of like carrying him around and feeding him, and you know, we were cool. And I was like, well, sorry, buddy, that was your chance. But
Not your dinner.
we called him. We dispatched the rooster is the appropriate politically correct term. But I mean, you know, like I was like, I kind of feel bad for him. And my one daughter was like, I don't feel bad for him. And I'm like, well, you should. Like, you can't be mad at a rooster for doing rooster things. You know what I mean? He's
Right.
just defending his flock. You know, he doesn't know any different. And it's kind
Exactly.
of, you know, like you said, there's sometimes, you know, I mean, just it's a rooster. A rooster's not going to kill me. I mean, I'm not going to,
Right.
you know, turn my back on a tiger. I don't care how tame I think it is, you know.
No.
You know what I mean? It's just, yeah. Or a
And
hippo. Yeah,
exactly. Or a bear.
exactly. Or a bear. There's a time
Yeah.
to.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny to think about how important it is to actually take the time and energy to try to teach our kids these things, because it like if you don't, they're either going to learn it two ways: either learn it from us telling them, teaching them, and trying to instill it to them so that when they face it, they can figure out how to deal with the
Right.
situation.
I remember Dad told me about this. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, or they're going to end up in the situation like I did a lot of times. And, you know, for me, a lot of it was is my growing up. I had like my mom, who was a goody two shoes, never grew up, never really did anything wrong, was always very well behaved, all this. My biological dad, he was a pothead, a partier, all this. But by the time I got old enough, he always denied he did anything of it. And his friends got drunk and told me all sorts of stories. I'm sitting there going, yeah. So for me, a lot of the things I learned was through the school of hard knocks, by going
Yeah.
out and, all right, well, I'm gonna do this. And people going, hey, I got this. That's a little more than I'm willing to try. Things like that, just taking those steps and trying to get everything figured out on my own. And it might have been easier if I had somebody says, hey, there's going to be a time that you're going to smoke pot. It's going to make you feel good. You just have to figure out how you're going to handle it, et cetera, et cetera. Because I think a lot of people, they try to hide that there's that chance of happening. And like my son, I don't know if he'll ever touch it. I don't know why this chair, I need to throw this thing in the trash. But
There's a time to buy a new chair. There's a
that time is coming too. But I think a lot of it comes down to is if you don't, like I said, I like me as an example, I obviously haven't learned when the right time to buy a chair is. But if you grow up without having somebody there to teach you the how to deal with stuff accordingly, hey, when this time comes, you're going to have to make your decision. Is this the
Yeah.
time I want to do this? Am I safe in this place? It's so on and so on.
I explained this to my daughter, you know, and she gets it, interestingly enough. She's 15, but I tell her, you know, like, listen, there's degrees of consequences. You know, like some consequences, it's not that big a deal. Other consequences, it could be the last time you ever experience a consequence, you know. And so I told her, I was like, there's two types of educational situations. There's burning your hand on the stove. It's not going to kill you. It's going to hurt. It's going to take a while to heal. But the best way, maybe, to learn not to touch a hot stove is to burn the shit out of your hand. You know what I mean? But there's also the playing in the street type of lesson, you know.
Getting
And
ran over by the car and
yeah, it might be the last time you play in the street. You know, and as a dad, I kind of have to differentiate. Like, is this a hot stove or is this a playing in the street? I can't let you play in the street. I'm sorry. No matter what, you know, no matter how upset you get about it, if this to me seems like a playing in the street type lesson, I can't let that happen.
Yeah.
And that's tough, I think, for kids to understand because they don't always recognize the playing in the street type of lesson. And as a parent, we have to because it means it's life or death, you know,
Yeah.
or serious psychological or physical detriment, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, even going back to like the drug use, when I was growing up, I mean, if I got a joint off somebody and smoked a joint, I knew that 90% of the time it was just marijuana, you know? Now you don't know what all they're mixing in with
That's
it.
true. Yeah, that's true. The fentanyl and stuff. I mean, you get it
Yeah.
at a dispensary or something. It's in a state where it's legal. Marijuana might be a hot stove. Depends. You
Well,
know,
that's the thing
depends.
is,
Now, heroin,
depends.
that's a plane in the
Oh,
street. You know?
but see, that's the thing is, you do the hot stove with, say, they get at a dispensary, right?
Sure.
Okay, so it's a hot stove. They burnt their hand. It's not as bad as they thought, et cetera,
I
et
see.
cetera.
I see. Yeah.
So
Matter
then
of
they're
fact,
out
kind of
with,
feels good. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Yeah.
So then they're out with
Yeah.
friends,
I do get you. Yeah.
and then it's like, yeah, it's one of those that. It's a lot of drugs are this way where it's the first time it's feels good, all this, and especially like I said, with today, they're throwing so much stuff in there. There's people dying off of smoking weed because it's laced with fentanyl and
Yeah.
other stuff. And I mean, when I grew up, when you bought a drug, you knew what you were buying because no one was going to spend the extra
Most of
money
the time.
throwing. Yeah.
Yeah, most of the time.
There
I
was
mean, you
only
know, it's a lot more common now, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, there was one time that somebody put something in one of my joints, and let's just say he wasn't smiling for quite some time afterwards. But it's one of those things that you the hot stove, what might seem like a hot stove topic,
Yeah.
because I can tell my kids, yeah, I used to do it when I was a kid. Like I just had a conversation with my son. He overheard me talking with somebody about how I used to smoke cigarettes. So now I'm talking to him about how cigarettes were addictive, how I really had to work to get off of them, all this stuff. They weren't good for me. They still affect me in a way, et
You have to
cetera, et
trust me
cetera.
on this one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things that I can tell them, hey, like I smoked it. It didn't affect me, but I knew plenty of people that took it too far and ended up getting hurt from it. Just like I explained, hey, drinking, daddy does drink. I don't like getting drunk. But I will get a small buzz. I make my own wine, so I have to drink something.
Yeah.
But the whole thing comes down to is, drinking can be perfectly fine, having a beer, having a glass of wine, even having a couple in every now and then. But the problem is when that couple becomes
Yeah.
a couple of cases in a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I
It's a,
mean,
it can be a slippery slope. I know with me, I've never had a problem moderating my alcohol intake. That's never been an issue, but I don't have that same relationship with marijuana. I don't use marijuana anymore, but when I, you know, I have a pretty, I've tried to use it in moderation over the years and it's never been successful. I just don't have a good relationship with that drug. You know, it just
Right.
it's a dark hole for me. And you know, it's interesting because you know, this has been my experience, and I don't know what other people's experience are, but you know, it makes you happy, hungry, horny, sleepy, right?
Paranoid.
But when you stop, especially if you do it all the time, you stop, you know,
Right.
it makes you angry, you lose your appetite, you can't fall asleep, you know what I mean? You can't get it up. You know, it's like it just completely, it's like the 180. It's like the cure that causes the illness, you know what I mean? That was my experience with it, you know, and that's why I choose not to anymore. But
See, for me, I had a decent relationship with, I'd say, because I never allowed myself to go, because oddly enough, hearing the stories from my dad's friends, even though my dad denied a lot of it. Hearing the stories and he did, along with stories, the not so good stories I heard from other family members and this and that, made me realize that I don't want to go to that extent. And it was kind of for me, like drinking was my poor vice, drinking and smoking. My earlier years, oh, I would pound them, I would party, all this. And I think a lot of that for me was more dealing with something that I just didn't want to deal with.
It's a band-aid.
Yeah. And once I learned to deal with getting through that issue I was dealing with, then for me, it kind of lessened. And then I got married. And after I got married, it went way down.
Yeah.
And then after having kids, it's like,
that's how you know you married the right woman.
You have kids?
No, the fact that your drinking went down and not up.
Oh yeah. I'll say my wife and I do have arguments, and
yeah,
sometimes I wonder if I need to check her into a mental hospital, but
she thinks the same thing about you, trust me.
She probably well, I think sometimes she wonders if she needs to bury me in the ground, to be honest with you. And I'll be honest, I'm no saint by any means. And I know I'm stubborn, but the problem is when we're both stubborn and I'm just sitting there, I'm trying to be calm and all this and going, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say something because it's only going to make it worse. A time for everything.
That's right. Right. Now is the time to say, okay, honey.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I found what made it for me to be able to cut back my drinking, but the stories that I could tell about the things I did drinking is outrageous.
Yeah,
I mean,
same.
And it's that whole thing of, I didn't grow up around heavy drink. Well, on my mom's side, there were no heavy drinkers. And that was the side I was around most times. My biological dad's side, they were all big into drinking, drugs, all this stuff. They wanted to live the hillbilly life, living in Ohio. And I'm sitting there going, there's no hills here for you to be a hillbilly. So
you can be a flatland billy. You can't be a
hillbilly. Yeah. So, but overall, it was just, I didn't learn a lot of this stuff until I got older of how to, because I could control myself when I was at work, but I never thought I really had an issue, because to me, it wasn't an issue until I looked back and saw what I really was.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a drinking problem. I'm drinking. I ain't got no problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the question for me is like, you know, is it like I said at the beginning, is it even possible to teach our kids this stuff, or does life have to teach our kids this stuff? And you know what? I mean, my resolution to that is I got to try, even if I can't. You know, I mean, you got to try as a parent. That's your job. And you know, I think the statistics tell us it's possible, right? Because children that grow up in stable, loving households with a mother and a father fare significantly better than the alternative. And that has to be a product of, you know, a product of that genetic knowledge, you know, not literally genetic, but you know what I mean? Like knowledge that we pass on to our children.
I think so. When they see a happy family, happy, positive environment, they're more apt to learn.
Like, man, I've always trusted Dad. Dad's never lied to me. He's never hurt me. I've always felt safe around him. And he's telling me that I don't want to do this. You know,
right?
Like, is it really worth the risk? Like he's been right a lot. You know, you know.
I will tell him, but yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll never admit that, but yeah.
Yeah, just like my wife.
Yeah, I don't know.
Your kids and your wife never tell you you're right, but
speaking of there being a time, I think this is the time for me to go spend time with my wife. So
yeah, and I got to get some sleep.
Yeah, man.
Like I said, I've been having a interesting time to say the least. So
yeah,
how about we say goodbye? Where do people find you if they want to reach out to you?
Yeah, you know, man, on Twitter, X, at Earn Her Respect. Things have been crazy, but I do have every intention of being more active there here in the coming months. So, but in the meantime, I'll be here having these conversations with you and loving every minute of it. So
beautiful. And then of course, Call with Dads. We're on YouTube, obviously, if you're watching live stream, which it looks like no one at this point is watching the live stream. We're trying to do the live streams around 10 o'clock every Monday night. It's going to be just as soon as we get on, we start talking. So you can come subscribe to our YouTube channel, tell people, you can ask questions if you have them, so on and so on. And then, of course, YouTube, Rumble, or not Rumble anymore. YouTube, we're on about every audio that you can find. Facebook, and of course, callwithdads.com. So you can go find us. If you have questions, reach out. I'm happy to talk with you. I'm happy to get whoever in our group is going to be the best person for you to talk with. We're all here. We're all happy to do what we can. But with that, I appreciate everyone. And Tom, we'll talk soon.
Yeah, bro. I look forward to it. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.